The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I keep asking her, what are you talking about? She said, we're coming for you. But I get back on stage, and as I'm speaking, hear screaming in the hallway. I think to myself, I think that's that woman. And then, sure enough, the electricity in this mega church on a perfectly sunny day went out while she was screaming in the hallway.
A demonic encounter started Jeannie Allen down a cycle of anxiety and doubt. Learn how to fight this spiritual war and put a stop to spiraling negative thoughts. Next.
Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh here with Randy Robeson, and we are very excited about our guest. Jeannie Allen has written a lot of great books and studies, but this book in particular, I think, what a timely gift this is for us. It's called Get Out of Your Head, Stopping the Spiral of Toxic Thoughts. So please help me welcome Jeannie Allen. Welcome. We're so glad you're back with us again.
I mean, love it.
Anytime you have anything out, Jeannie, just don't even, we don't have to just show up in the studio and we'll do
just
a show.
Drive over.
Just drive over.
Great.
But the interesting thing in this book is you tell us a personal story that's actually pretty terrifying.
Yes, it would be. But I have seen God's power over it. Yeah. But it was a little bit scary at the time. So the story is that I was speaking at a church in Little Rock, Arkansas. That's my hometown. It was a Baptist church, and it was a large church. And after my first session, a woman stopped me in the hall, and I kind of got cornered one-on-one, and she said, you need to quit talking about us. And in the first session, I had talked about the demons rejoicing when Christ died, and then, you know, what they had done. And so she says, you need to quit talking about us. Well, of course, I'm not thinking to myself, she's talking about demons. Like, nothing occurs to me. I keep asking her, what are you talking about? She said, we're coming for you. She was just a lovely lady. Everything in me was just, I could not place what was happening. And then every time I would say, what are you talking about? She would say, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then finally, I was like, you know what? I think I do. And security guard, could you keep an eye on her? Like, she's made some threats against me. And again, would have thought nothing of it, but I get back on stage, and as I'm speaking, hear screaming in the hallway. I think to myself, I think that's that woman. And then, sure enough, the electricity in this mega church on a perfectly sunny day went out while she was screaming in the hallway.
Really?
And after that, I was like, you know what? Minus the electricity going out at a mega church that's never happened before, I would have just walked away and been like, that woman was crazy. But after that, I told my husband the story, and we immediately, and he is the most low-keel, easygoing guy. I mean, he does not rattle easily. I rattle easily. He does not. And I called him, and he was like, let's go through every part of our lives and make sure there's not a place where the enemy could attack us. Just we took it seriously. That was.
You're saying it wasn't just some woman who was maybe not quite right, or, you know, but you think it was spiritual?
I think it was spiritual.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and we knew, you know, at that time, I felt like the devil overplayed his hand. And I remember walking out of there on fire. It was not fearful. It was, oh my gosh, this is all
your
real.
Faith, didn't
it? It stoked my faith. Mm-hmm. I mean, that night I was with my mom and my sisters. They had seen it happen. And, you know, I'm like evangelizing the waiter and like telling everybody, because it awoke all of the reality that we know is true. If we believe in Jesus, we read our Bibles, we know that there is a war, and we know that we're a part of it, and we know that these spiritual things are happening around us all the time. But in reality, we're not constantly thinking about it. And I think it kind of shook me and made me more serious about the work.
You were in a Baptist church.
Right.
I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. It's not common.
No, not common.
What's interesting though, Jeannie, even though that really stoked your faith and made you like, okay, I remember I am in a battle. What followed in the months to come was very difficult.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah, so this is actually why I decided to give 2 years of my life to create this book, because Following that season for months, like 18 months, I walked through a season of doubt. And what that looked like for me was in the middle of the night, I would just start questioning things. I would say to myself, is this true? Like, you're giving your whole life to God. You're missing kids' games. You are obsessed with the gospel. You are giving your whole life to this. Is this true? Because if it fades to black, it wasn't some other God, but it was just doubt that God existed and that there was a heaven and a hell and all of this, which is, I mean, looking back, it's so obviously not true, you know, but I didn't ever tell anybody. And it wasn't something, and I like to say that evil loves to not be noticed, because what had happened for me was it had just snuck in and was whispering these things to me, and I just received it, and I began to question it. And I don't think I mentioned it. I don't think there was a big sense of shame. I just don't think I took it seriously. And I didn't realize that over months, as I would sit and stew and just allow these thoughts to be in my mind, that there would be a toll, and there was a toll mm-hmm. over time.
Yeah. So how did that impact your family life? Were you still speaking?
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. My editor, after she read the book, she was like, well, Jenny, this is real.
Wow.
And are you sure that you can go public when this is something that it could look like you were hypocritical? Because my faith, it really did. I mean, I was constantly thinking in the back of my mind, even as I was preaching, mm-hmm. is this true? Mm-hmm. And so it did take a toll. But I told her that day, and I knew it. I was not scared to share it, because I knew that I was standing on the same faith that I was given at salvation, that I will stand on the day before Jesus, that it was from God. Like, he gifted me that faith, and that faith wasn't shaken, because my faith, my mustard seed of a faith that I still fought for, that I still prayed was true, you know, the evidence of things hoped for, I still had that. It was just that it definitely was shaken. Mm-hmm. And yet it never was held in place by me. Like, God holds us in place, right?
Right.
Yes, there is that moment where we trust him as Lord and Savior, but he promises to hold us, and that he will persevere us.
Absolutely. Here's an interesting question for you, because sometimes we'll have guests, we'll talk about the idea of questioning God. We say, it's okay, God can handle your questions. And sometimes I think it's good to ask, you know, do I really believe, you know, you go through tragedy and it forces you to go, do I really believe what I say I do? And when you walk through that, you know, your roots grow deeper, right?
100%, yes.
How do you know the difference between sort of that healthy questioning and knocking on the door and getting an answer versus an attack that's designed to undermine you?
I never in those months said it out loud to my husband. I never said what was happening. Again, it wasn't shame. It was just I wasn't taking it seriously. When I finally said it out loud to some friends, because it had gotten where it was just constant, like it was just gnawing me in the day, right? Like sometimes you're just thinking about something in the night, and then when it bleeds into the day and it's always there, you go, okay, this has become a bigger problem. And I said it out loud, and my first thought was, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, I don't believe this. Like, I do believe God. I do believe God. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing I said was, I think I've been under spiritual attack. Which is so obvious, but until I said it out loud, it never occurred to me. And I think that's why I wrote the book, because he is a liar.
Yeah.
And Jesus is pretty clear that he's the father of lies, mm-hmm. and that he doesn't have another language. Like, it is
right.
What the enemy does is he lies. Mm-hmm. He says that in John 8. And so we've got this liar that is constantly lying to us. And I remember being in middle school and my youth pastor said, we don't need to talk about the devil too much. And I mean, I remember that. It stuck with me. And then I'm thinking later, as I read my Bible, I'm like, wait a minute. Like, there's dark cosmic forces that are coming for us. Like, let's talk about him enough that we can fight well.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I had not done, was I want to just be that person for the church that says, hey, our thoughts matter.
Yeah.
Like those little random things that you think nothing of, those are lies from the enemy. Because when I realized I was being attacked, I fought it completely differently.
Fiery darts, the Bible says.
Yeah. I didn't receive it. I think if we think it's just our random thoughts,
right,
which I thought that was what it was for months, then we don't fight it.
What was the breaking point? Was there something that your friend said to you that shifted things and suddenly you realized, oh no, this is a battle?
Yeah, not at that point. At that point, it was powerful to say it out loud, and I definitely took note of that. but I still felt under it. I mean, at this point, I had been questioning for 18 months, and it was, I felt the weight of that running rampant in your mind. And when I wrote the book, I really looked at science, because what science will tell us is that 80% of our thoughts are negative. 95% of our thoughts are repetitive day after day after day. So we don't even have to, the devil doesn't have to work that hard. He just has to whisper a lie and let it run its course by the way that our brains are made, you know? And so I think this is a passive situation when we need to be fighting. And 2 Corinthians talks about that there are divine weapons that have the power to demolish strongholds. The verse or two after that is take every thought captive. Mm-hmm. So this idea of war is how God, through his word and through the, you know, writers of scripture, they're pretty clear, like, we've got to treat this like war. And so what eventually really began to shift things was, I mentioned it to a dear friend. We were in Uganda, and I was just tired. I think so many people are this way, that they've just been, they want to believe they can change. They want to believe that they don't have to have those negative thoughts over and over again, but they don't know how. And I was just, I felt beat up. I felt like I'd been alone in the dark with the devil, and he had just had his way, like, just beat me up. And I was with Ann Voskamp, who's a dear friend, and I told her everything, and she went to war for me.
I bet she did.
She was like, not on my watch. Okay. And we fasted and we prayed.
Yeah.
We fasted and we prayed. And the seriousness with which my friends Esther Havens and Ann Voskamp took it, they went to war, and other friends prayed and fought for me. And I really think it took community.
Yeah.
It took prayer and those spiritual weapons that the Bible talks about. It's we don't, you know, and I want to talk about mental illness, because that definitely is a different side of a similar coin here, because our mind can fall into that category. But for me, in this scenario, at this time, now I've struggled at different times with anxiety, certainly with paralyzing fear that could have perhaps moved to a clinical stage. But at this moment, what I needed was to view this as spiritual, and we needed to fight it in that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody, Jenny, who's watching, saying, well, that's just the way I am.
Right.
You know, I'm always anxious. I'm always this. How do they begin to fight this battle?
Oh, that is my hope and prayer, is that people would first believe that they can fight it, that we have authority, right? It didn't scare me when that happened to me, because at the end of the day, I'm praying myself to sleep and saying, God, who can be against me? I mean, I read this verse this morning. Who can be against me if you are for me? And if God, this is Romans 8, if God would send his only son, then what good gift would he withhold? I mean, he is so good. Like, he will fight for us. And I believe he was fighting for me. I believe he let me taste the darkness so that I could help set other people free. I absolutely believe that. And I will be dangerous for it.
That's what I thought when I read your book. I thought, you've messed with the wrong girl.
Yeah. I'm like, I will. Okay, let's go. And now, you know, in the middle of the night, I am like, I mean, when I wake up, I'm like, God, I mean, we are praying for, like, missionaries. I'm like, I do not, if he's going to wake me up, I'm like, people are going to get saved with me in the dark, you know? I mean, because now I feel this authority over it.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing is just realizing we do have God-given authority over the darkness and over the lies. Like, we don't have to listen. We can say no more. And so those thoughts will enter my mind, but I fight them. I discipline my mind. I train my mind. Scripture's clear about that. Like, we can shift our minds. Mm-hmm. However, I want to address mental illness really clearly, because there is an epidemic of that. And there certainly is, as we all know, chemical imbalances that need medicine.
Yeah.
And the church has not done a great job with that. And so that's got to be said, that counseling and medicine are gifts from God and can help you get up to where you can breathe and begin the fight. But it's also not just physical.
Absolutely.
It's spiritual, it's emotional, and it is physical. And so we've got to fight on all the fronts. And so I really would just say, if you have been stuck in a pattern for a long time, chemically your brain has changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that happens. And so, and in the science, it's like that you might need a doctor to help you get to a place where you can process the spiritual and process the emotional.
Yeah, our souls do affect our cells.
Yeah.
I mean, that's scientifically proven.
Yeah.
And it's scriptural as well. A question, the idea of demons and Satan and all that scares a lot of people. Did it frighten you when you realized this is a spiritual?
I have some great stories.
War.
So, yeah. So I remember writing. Well, I really believe the Bible. Like I really do. And I
that's the right direction to go. For
I
this.
Like that we win. I know what he's capable of. You guys, I have seen spiritual timed attack against my family in ways that is unthinkable and unspeakable. I literally cannot share how dark and horrible some of the things are that have come our way. So I am not naive when I say what I'm about to say, but when I was writing the book, one of the chapters, I don't know if we kept it in, but I ended the chapter that day. I was writing by myself all day, and I ended with, "Bring it, devil!" exclamation point. And I stepped back and I was like, so what's about to happen? You know, like, I just don't throw out a line like that. And y'all, in the next hour, I had a friend text me and said, "Jenny, your website is a porn site. When you put in your name, it was a porn site." And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, it was just, nobody knew I wrote that.
Wow.
Like, it was wild. I mean, it took the entire day to get it down. I mean, it was just, but I love it because the enemy has overplayed his hand.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that feeling for me of, I don't doubt that bad things could come because I've picked this fight. I told my team that this morning. I was like, you guys, I won't be surprised, but I know that God will not allow anything to happen to us that we don't have the power in him to fight.
The scripture describes Satan as a defeated enemy.
That's right.
We need not fear an enemy that's already been defeated. We just have to stand up, claim the authority, and fight the fight. And that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking that I wish every college student would read this book. Because, you know, I know one of your children, but my son's at A&M. And do you know the waiting to go and see a counselor at A&M is 4 months long? Because of students struggling. But I think of the number of them who are believers, but who don't take spiritual warfare seriously and don't take, you know, suiting up in the armor of God seriously. I mean, particularly in these days, it's like heightened. I mean, we need to know we can do battle in Jesus' name.
Well, and that's what we approached in the book is, what are the enemies of the mind in our generation? Mm. And some of those enemies that I feel, you know, and I remember just praying, God, what is it? And I wrote I was walking one day and I just pulled over with my phone and I wrote the seven enemies that are in this book because I see them and they're causing sickness. And I don't even know that we hate them. They're kind of subtle, but they're causing sickness in us. And so one of them is cynicism. And
yeah, I thought that was an interesting one, cynicism.
Yeah, because I think it's defeatist, right? Mm-hmm. So if we are cynical, then we don't believe what's possible. Yeah. We don't believe the good in people.
Yeah.
We always see the negative, and we almost feel proud of that because it's kind of a badge of I'm not naive.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But we've turned ungrateful, and then another one is victimhood. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not that there's not real victims; it's that we all are in a victimhood crisis. Like rather than going, you know what? And that's the main thing I hope people take away from this today, and I hope people take away from the book is I have a choice. And I'm not speaking to chemical imbalance. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
But outside of that, I have a choice.
Yeah.
And even within that, on a given day, it will help us to retrain our minds. It's not that chemical imbalance isn't real, but training our minds is going to still help.
Right.
And so my hope is that everybody would read it and almost just suit up of just going, hey, I'm not a victim.
Yeah.
Like, I can fight this.
Yeah, no, I think what you've gotten here is important. It's valuable. And when it's overlooked, we start to lose that fight. And so I hope you'll get this. In fact, there's a great way for you to get this today. We will send it to you if you ask for it. When you help us fight another battle, and it has a spiritual element to it as well, believe me. But Sheila, you know, we're giving people water, giving people life. Meeting the physical needs so that we can discuss the spiritual need.
Yeah, I just got back a few weeks ago from Africa, and God is moving there. But as long as we're on the planet, there's so much that we can do in Jesus' name. Watch this.
It never goes away. Always in my veins. I wanna lay it all down. It's getting heavy for me now.
Katalika kupya mubiri. Jakatalika kupya mubiri, wakatalika kudairia. Paka kushikira, wakachikonsha kumutula kukliniki. Mana kushikira wasawafu. Wale kuchitewa 129. Oh. Mashi moria balinga bachikosha kubika nani kololini sono tatutofu tulongoro tulya tatutofu bakabika ko mashi moria no tatutofu motulibo kwamba imashi ali ave kwamba ipashi ngotwafu tulongoro tulya no tatutofu kumana tutaonwabo alimu abana abatopenga kunochiswa katutola ku kliniki songo twapenguruka.
The water hole in that village was horrendous. I mean, we looked down into it, and the water was filthy, absolutely filthy. There's snakes that get into the pit. I mean, it's just an animal waste that gets washed in there from the rain. It's terrible, but it's all she has. Most of these moms that I met, they get up at 4:30 every morning to walk to the nearest water hole, because if they don't get there in time, then it dries up and they have to wait till the afternoon. But they know that what they're giving their children has the potential to kill them. The very thing that should give them life, it's giving them death. But we can change this. That's the thing. This is not something that there's nothing we can do. We can go there. We can drill a well in Ennis's village, and for the first time in their life, they will drink fresh, clean water. And if we all do something, Randy, we can change this.
That well you speak of, it was hand dug?
Yeah, it takes a week to do it. It's about 6 foot deep, and it's filthy.
We can do better than that. You and I can join together, as we've been doing for so many years. An average well costs $4,800. We do these 20 countries all over the world. 350 wells is the goal for this year, and I'm just asking you to be a part of it. Those stories are heartbreaking. It's hard to watch. We don't like bringing you those stories, but only you can turn it around when you join with us today. Will you give fresh, clean drinking water to, I don't know, 10 people for a lifetime? $48. That's all it is. Some of you can give water to 30 people, $144. That's what it comes out to when we boil the numbers down. If you can give an entire well $4,800, please do it. You will make a huge difference in someone's life. You will not just change lives, you'll save lives. Or maybe you'll just do the best that you can and partner with others. If we all chip in, if we all do something, we can achieve our goal for this year and we can save lives. I don't want Sheila to have to walk with another mother to the grave of her child. Will you go online or pick up the phone and give the best gift you can? Give life.
Today, a mother living in extreme poverty will do the unthinkable. Give her children dirty, disease-filled water that she knows could kill them. With no other choice, what's a mother to do? With your help, clean water is on the way. Mission Water for Life is the answer to a mother's prayer to save the lives of her children, to offer them a bright future free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. In her new book, Sheila Wall shows you how to reignite your conversation with God to become a strong praying woman. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Power of Prayer Bundle. This bundle includes a cozy throw blanket adorned with words of the Lord's Prayer, a decorative pillow cover, as well as Sheila's book. All three are encouraging reminders of how there's power in your faith-filled prayers. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our brand new commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I travel all over the world as the Director of Missions for Life Today. I continue to hear some of the same stories. Death. Why? Simply because they don't have clean drinking water. These mothers who wanted to give life to her children. She wanted to bring health to her family by bringing water home. But she ends up bringing contaminated water, if she can find any. And it brings death to her children. None of us would ever want to bring death into our living room. But that's what these mothers did. They didn't want to do that. They didn't mean to do that. But either they can't find water, or the water they do have is so contaminated, it just brings disease and even to the point of death. So please help us bring clean water. Let's drill some wells that'll give these villages and these people water for the rest of their lives. Clean, life-giving water. Please help us today.
Thank you so much. If the line's busy, please keep calling. Let's do this. Let's change this in Jesus' name. For any gift at all, you can request Jenny's book, Get Out of Your Head. Also, I have a brand new book just coming out called Praying Women. And I know you don't do it for the gifts, but we just want to say thank you and we want to bless you. So please, let's do this. Let's decide that as the body of Christ, we're going to be the body moving in action, in answer to people's prayers.
Yeah, I hope you'll do it. I hope you'll do it today. And would you also thank Miss Jenny Allen for being with us? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sir Jenny. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
We want to get this book for all your people.
Yes.
Everybody.
Thank you for watching. Don't miss Life Today, every day.
Regardless of your net worth, estate planning benefits you and your family before and after death and results in peace of mind. As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, can help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Don't put off this important step to peace of mind through better planning. Contact Life Planning Services today.
We are blessed. We're living in acres of diamonds.
Jensen Franklin explains that there's no need to chase after a better life next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.